Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Our current subject is peace, and our current text is Colossians 3:15. And that verse says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful." And we have already examined, first of all, peace in the heart, for we read, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." And that is the sense of peace, in other words, the subjective feeling of peace, which is what most people are talking about when they're talking about having peace. They're talking about the feeling of peace in their heart. I want to be at peace. I feel at peace about this decision, and so forth. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. But the second part of the text deals with peace in the church, because it goes on to say, "To which also you were called in one body." You were called to live in peace. You were called to let the peace of God rule not only in your heart, subjectively, but in your church body or in your relationship with other believers in your church body. And that's very, very important. But the balancing element that we must keep in mind is that God never tells us to pursue peace at any price. Peace is always secondary to truth. Or to put it another way, peace does not eliminate the need for purity. And so we must maintain truth, defend truth, contend for the faith, which sometimes destroys peace temporarily, but in the long run is the only basis for a long-lasting peace. And oh, that we would learn that, because that seems to be a very difficult truth to hold on to. And so we want to take that one a little bit further as we gather around the Word of God on this Wednesday, December 14. Thank you for joining us, and many thanks to those radio listeners whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. So, peace in the church, but not peace at any price. Not peace that ignores or cancels truth. Remember the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1. Oh, he was doing anything but creating peace, if you've ever read that chapter. Consider that carefully. How he scolds them, how he scathes them. I am appalled that so many of you are departing from the truth, from the gospel which was delivered unto you, unto another gospel, which is not a gospel. It is not the gospel at all, but some people think it is. And on he goes, and he talks also in that passage, as you move from chapter 1 to chapter 2, about his confrontation with Peter. Again, certainly not an overt attempt to create peace. It was just the opposite. Peter was trying to make peace at any price, and therefore was willing to compromise with the Judaizers. Paul stood up, and we read in Galatians chapter 2, that he withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Now that's the kind of activity that some people know too much about and other people don't know enough about. Some people know too much about it because that's the way they generally behave about everything. And that's certainly wrong. Everything is not an important issue. Many things can be and ought to be set aside, overlooked, not pursued, but when it is an essential truth, it cannot be ignored. A violation of it cannot be ignored. Peace is not to be sought at any price, but only as it is established upon a foundation of truth. Some truth is major. Some truth is minor. And we've got to learn the difference, dear friends. We've got to learn the difference. Some things that people consider to be truth are only personal preference. And I could give you examples of this. Some come flooding into my mind right now. Some of the things that I have seen Christians go to war over that are absolutely ridiculous. But some things are not only worth going to war over, but they are necessary to go to war over if we're going to be true to God and pleasing to Him and obedient to His Word. So anything that attacks the character of God or what God reveals about Himself in Scripture, we must defend. We must not ignore that, overlook that, live with that in order that we can say we have achieved some kind of peace. Anything that attacks the basic doctrines about the person and work of Christ falls into that same category. We cannot ignore violations of these essential doctrines about who God is, who Jesus Christ is, what He came to do, His work upon the cross. Not too long ago, in our local newspaper, there was an article by an ordained minister in our town saying that the blood atonement not only is not necessary for one to be a Christian, but that it is a terrible doctrine, it is unworthy of God, and on and on and on he went in this article. Well, dear friends, anyone who would say, well, it's too bad he said that, but after all, the most important thing is for us to maintain peace among the brethren, and so we won't say anything about it, haven't read your Bible. You don't understand that the Bible requires that we defend truth at that point and expose the errors of those who would teach such abominable doctrine. The Bible is clear that those who believe doctrine like that and teach doctrine like that are no Christians at all. They do not know God. If anyone comes unto you and brings not the doctrine of Christ, he has not God. He does not have God, said John very clearly in his second epistle, and something similar in his first epistle. So some truths are major, and we don't set them aside for the goal of peace, because we need to understand that ultimately peace is only achieved when it is built upon a foundation of truth. But we don't argue over minor things that are of no serious consequence. Many years ago, I preached in a church in a faraway state, I mean way out west. And I was there because they were looking for a pastor, and I was being considered for that position. And what I found out was that there were two churches in this very small community. One had split off of another one, and so now there were two churches that were basically the same in doctrine. But what had caused the split was that at one time, the pastor, a former pastor, not the one who was there now, or, well, actually, the one that was there now had left, so there was a vacancy, but not the immediately previous pastor, but one prior to that, and a prominent member of the church had argued over the interpretation of the phrase, the sons of God. When the Bible tells us in Genesis, I'd have to go back and look at the exact place, but that the sons of God saw the daughters of men and came and had some kind of interaction with them. And who exactly those sons of God were? Are they human beings of the line of Seth, or are they angelic beings? And I've got my own interpretation and my own reasons to support it, which I'm not going to mention now because I don't want to get sidetracked. But what I am amazed at is that a church would split over that issue. And so in essence, though they weren't called this, you had the angels, the Sons of God Angels Baptist Church, and the Sons of God Descendants of Seth Baptist Church in a little town that was hardly big enough to support one church. What a shame. That was not pursuing peace in the church. and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. That was a very prime example of someone who was not a peacemaker, who was contending for something that really is inconsequential. I'm not saying that it's not worth talking about, not worth setting forth your positions concerning, not worth exploring. I think it's worth all of those things. I think a lot can be learned by pursuing that. But to divide over that, to split over that, oh, come on now. You don't understand what the Scripture teaches at all. So, we must pursue peace, but we must pursue it on the basis of a foundation of the gospel, a foundation of the God of the Bible, as He has revealed Himself to us, a foundation of the person and work of Jesus Christ. But the final part of this text talks about peace on display. We have first examined peace in the heart. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Secondly, peace in the church, to which also you were called in one body. But finally, peace on display, because the verse concludes by saying, and be thankful. Now, isn't that a surprising connection at first glance? But that's what it says. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and, or to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Thanksgiving. One last addition. And here we are reminded of the importance of thanksgiving, but here's the point. The relationship of thanksgiving to peace. Thanksgiving is a product of peace. When the peace of God is ruling in your heart, you will be thankful. Gratitude characterizes peaceful hearts. Ingratitude characterizes tumultuous hearts, rebellious hearts. Ingratitude grows from selfishness and dissatisfaction. Ingratitude breeds ill will and bitterness. Ingratitude breeds a critical spirit and a complaining posture rather than a thankful posture. So this tells us that when the peace of God rules in your heart, you are going to be thankful. Thanksgiving is a product of peace, and thanksgiving is a promoter of peace. Obedient behavior is a response of gratitude to God. Grateful people don't envy others. Grateful people are not angry and malcontent. Grateful people are loving people. Grateful people are forgiving people. Grateful people are peaceful people. And to maintain a peaceful heart, we need to cultivate thanksgiving personally. And to maintain a peaceful church, we need to cultivate thanksgiving as a characteristic of our church body. Gratitude toward God promotes humility and peaceful relationships with others. So, do you have too many conflicts? Maybe you need to work on thanksgiving, work on your level of gratitude. It may be that the reason you have difficulty getting along with people is because you don't have a thankful heart, as you should. And therefore, put these things together as the Scripture does. Peace in the heart and peace in the church coupled with a spirit of thanksgiving. May God help us to do so. And until we return again tomorrow, may God give you His eternal peace.